You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 15 November. UK GDP due out 9 a.m. expected 1.1% year on year. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Skulklo from PSG Old Oak, Telkom, Goldfields and Gold. Attila Kadikoi, he's from Leventine and Co. Why are US bond yields moving higher and inversely bond prices collapsing? And some thoughts from me on crypto and the massive run that we have seen. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, new tax regime for booze on the cards. Discussion document proposes wide-ranging changes with little time for comment. Business Day, SA Junk's rating likely to persist despite investor optimism. Fiscal risks remain, and it'll be a while before economists can gauge the GNU's success at spurring growth. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.6%, NASDAQ down 0.66%. East mostly green, Sydney up 0.1%, Tokyo is up 0.8%, Hong Kong up 0.5%, and Tencent off 0.25%. Commodities, mostly green, gold, 2,573, Brent, 7,210, platinum, 947, palladium, 942. The Rand, 1,823, Bitcoin, 88,250, and top 40 opening call, 150 points green, 0.2% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Skulk, PSG Old Oak. Skulk, always appreciate the early morning Fridays. Telkom yesterday. We've had telcos all week. We had Vodacom Monday, horror numbers. We had MTN, what was it, Wednesday, horror numbers. And then Telkom yesterday. Hey, they actually had some good numbers. Are they the gem in the telco space, or are they sort of flattering to deceive?
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the listeners. Yeah, who would have thought? I mean, if we sat here 1 year ago and I told you, you know, where would you put your money? I mean, MTN, Vodacom, Telkom, I think most listeners, you and me included, would have said, no, let's rather choose the first two, not Telkom. Now, you know, Telkom outperformed not only in terms of a price movement on JSE, but actually brought out quite a solid, you know, update yesterday, and I thought it's looking good, and price wise, when this is a company now trading at five-ish PE ratio. So yeah, the telcos are struggling. It's still a worrying factor, but it seems like Telkom is doing the basics right currently.
The problem with MTN and Vodacom is their rest of the continent, where currencies suddenly collapse, whether it be the Egyptian pound or the cedi or the Ghanaian shilling, Nigerian naira, and that just, you know, you might have great operations, but if the currency collapses, your profits go with it.
Correct. And MTN is not only a currency player now, it's also sort of a commodity player, because as the oil price retraced, I mean, there goes the naira, and naturally, you know, been making up more or less 50% of its earnings. Well, there goes MTN. So, yeah, I think MTN, Vodacom really showed its struggles through their updates. And then Telkom, I thought yesterday weren't too bad.
Yeah, no, I hate Telkom for the win, as you say. We wouldn't have called it a year ago. Goldfields and Gold. Goldfields had some results out. All in sustained costs heading a bit higher. I mean, all in all, the gold miners seem to be doing perfectly fine. They're liking the gold price. We'll touch on that collapsing in a moment. And you know, costs are rising because, well, there's been an inflationary environment. They're doing the best they can and getting as much out of the ground as possible.
Yeah, I thought the production update, as any production update, weren't looking too bad. I mean, as I was saying, gold, you're making me old. all in cost, $1,909 per ounce. I thought, remember, this is somewhat higher as last year, this time around, but still, you know, lower than the previous quarter and well and within their guidance. They already guided that gold price, their all-in cost will be anything between $1,820 and $1,910 per ounce. So even at this, let's call it distressed gold price levels, they're still making pretty, pretty good money. And then, and I think the one thing that also stood out for me is the only South African business or mines that they still got, you know, namely South Deep, it seemed like they had a proper growth in their production, you know, 23% up. Just shows you if you can keep on the power, I mean, the, you know, mines like South Deep and, you know, many of our other mines are doing better.
Yeah, and I mean, South Deep has been a problem for, I mean, 20 years, but they've finally got it working. Gold, gold, you're making me older. That's a great phrase. What's up or down with the gold price? I mean, it hit 2,800 in the futures, what, about 2 weeks ago, and then suddenly it's just collapsed in a heap. As someone who holds gold, should I be worrying? Is this opportunity to buy? Is this the end of the gold market rally? Or is this just all unknown?
No, it's my opinion, definitely no. On all of them. I mean, let's just start, you know, before we go over to the gold price. Gold price, as we sit here, we're still sitting at a gold price that is way up. Started the year $2,000, $2,500. I mean, Goldfield started the year R270 per share. Yesterday closed at $244. I mean, so just to give you an idea that there's a bit of, let's call it insanity in the market in my view. So what happened? You know, Trump happened. We've got the Trump trade. He's got this beautiful tax cuts that he's planning. and you know, it's interesting to look at this. I mean, when you look at this tax cut he's planning, I mean, he wants to continue extending that 2017 tax cuts that he started. Now for anybody out there, just go and pull the US budget deficit as it took office for the first time, which was basically then 2016. They had, let's call it, they ran a deficit, but not that big. Now they got a massive $1.85 trillion deficit for this, you know, call it fiscal year. I mean, it does not have the tools to do this, but let's say he does that, it just means he's gonna be, well, he'll be needing an extra $4 trillion over the next decade just to make this tax cuts happen. And here's just the fun part. For all the people out there that think, you know, Trump will be bad, just his first term, you know, as president, you know, the gold rose 67% over, you know, his first term. That's annualized 14% per year. And if it happens again, we're looking at gold price 4,500. I'm just saying, as you know, when you listen to what President Trump has said, or it's called incoming President Trump has said, he said he needs the dollar to be a little bit weaker. Otherwise, this tariffs, it's not really going to be that useful. You know, a weaker dollar is usually very, very good for the dollar, for the gold. Mm-hmm. And then, finally, looking at the debt levels of the U.S., this is where you need to be really, really calm. Just go and draw a graph, easy to find on the internet. You use the U.S. debt to GDP percentage. Oh. You just put on the same graph, you put the gold price, and then you see why the gold price is trading where it's trading.
Yeah. And then you see where the gold price is going. That's just it. The case for gold hasn't gone away. We just maybe got a better entry price.
Exactly. And, you know, will there be volatility? Undoubtedly. He's only going to take office in January. And I think all the fun and games are only going to start shortly after that. So, you know, when you invest in gold, remember, it's not something you're going to be betting the farm on. It's something to use as a hedge against inflation, which I don't think is dead yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why gold makes us old, but hopefully it also makes us rich. We'll leave it there. Skulklo, PSG Old Oak, that is our question on LinkedIn and Twitter. Gold's down $200. I mean, it seems a lot, but it's still 2,500. And as Skulk there just said, it's up 25% for the year. Let's get completely real about it. Are you still bullish gold? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give you money, smoother returns for Stanlib Asset Management. The Stanlib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Attila Kadikoy, a Leventine & Co. managing partner. Attila, appreciate the time. US bonds, a remarkable move. I mean, we've seen them sell off, so bonds down, yield up, because of course there's the inverse relationship. But over the last couple of months, almost a 1% move in the 10-year bond, which in the bond world is massive.
It is. It's a significant move, like you said. Especially, remember, we were trading at close to 3.6% after Fed rate cuts. And now post-election, We are, I believe, today around 4.4% back to almost, I believe, like 3-4 month highs.
Is this or just Trump? Because, you know, you mentioned, of course, we got that first rate cut from the Fed back in September. Is that some of it? Is it just sort of a Trump response?
Good question. Here, I have to give you my own opinion,
sure.
You know, because there's not that much data we can, but I believe it is a reaction to the Trump election results.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, he has basically complete power of the government now.
Yeah.
I mean, lower house, upper house, and also, of course, you know, he's selected quite an aggressive cabinet. I believe it's to do, and there's a decoupling between how the equity markets view things and how the bond markets
mm-hmm.
view things. There's a decoupling there, and I believe that's because if you look at his policies, straight out, they're inflationary policies.
Yeah.
And including potentially, arguably, South Africa, post-COVID, what has been the biggest reason for governments to fall or lose majorities? And I believe it's inflation, whether it be the UK prices, whether even in India,
yeah,
losing the supermajority and just prices going up. Because inflation in the US, though we're looking at, you know, we kind of look at ranges between 3% in the last year, 3.5% down to 2%. The issue is at the consumer level, so consumer prices,
mm-hmm.
seeing consumers on year see a 20-22% increase in prices. That hurts people. Now, why am I underlying this point? This, I think, was the biggest factor in Trump's win, but his policies are inflationary, and that inflation hasn't completely calmed down. And what do I mean inflationary? For example, very, very difficult. But he says going to throw out illegal migrants.
Yeah.
Again, you could look at the impact of immigrants in the South African economy, very similar in the US. If you have, I believe, 11 million unregistered immigrants, the U.S. economy is growing, and they are doing a lot of the hard, unwanted jobs, including
yeah.
construction, etc. And these guys are worried because if they do start, even at a small scale, taking people out of the job market, it's going to have an inflationary impact. He's been talking about 10% tariffs on all imported goods,
yeah.
60% on Chinese goods. Even if he does half of that, that's going to have an impact on inflation. And his, let's say, hawkish views towards the Fed. The Fed chairman is going to potentially get changed in 2 years' time to mid-Trump term, 2026. Mm-hmm. Is he going to put in his place someone he's more able to control? And if there is inflation, what's the policies? So the big question is when the environment, and that's why we're watching interest rates, sorry.
Yeah.
When the environment is unstable like this, rather than governments controlling economic policy, economic outcomes can lead to change of government or, let's say, at least restricting government policy, as we saw in the UK.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Liz Truss, and what I think she made 49 days after yeah. the 30-year gilts went to 5%.
Yeah. So, you know, is it going to be a Liz Truss moment? It's really speculative to say something like that. But the fixed income market is most definitely much more cautious than the run on the equities. You know, it's, I think crypto and equities are, personally, I think they got a little ahead of themselves. They're mm-hmm. pricing too much in. And something that I haven't been able to read much on, and, you know, it's actually a really interesting discussion point. Everyone's kind of bullish on equities. One reason is, you know, will Trump bring down corporate tax rates
yeah.
to 15%? Okay, he does that. Okay, on paper, valuations go up. But a lot of these companies are going to start borrowing again this year and next year. Now, some of these companies, you know, borrowed at maybe 300 basis points below current levels. So how's that going to impact bottom line? I haven't really seen anything post-election on that, and that's something I'm curious about.
Yeah, that's a great point. The other one is Trump, you know, he wants to cut the corporate tax rate down to 15%. We've also got his tax cut, which he did, expires, I think, in 2026. And of course, with Trump in power, he will do his best to renew it, if not even perhaps expand it. And this then is less revenue for the U.S. Treasury, and their revenue goes down, their borrowing costs go up, because we've got the 10-year at over 4%. And this really starts to put a squeeze.
It puts a squeeze, and just to understand the spending, etc., on, like, there was a very conservative, I apologize, I can't remember who it was, but there was a conservative group's study on the deportation cost of 10, 11 million people out of the US. It would take over 5 to 6 years and cost, I believe, $1.5 trillion of government spending. So it is a very populist environment, and we must put into perspective, however we like our South African Elon Musk, what he can do to government spending, and plus is very limited, but let's say he cuts jobs, that's going to increase unemployment in the US. So, you know, there's all these things to think about, and we just unfortunately have to wait and see.
It is a wait and see, and my sense is much like Liz Truss had the, I don't know, it was a good sense, good grace, good something to step down. I don't see that coming from a President Trump when he's, he only gets sworn in on the 20th of January. A last question. A lot of folks have been seeing, you know, saying, oh, but he's going to charge the tariffs, but that'll generate revenue. I mean, it will, but that's not going to offset. I mean, that's not the solution to anything, truthfully.
No, it's not. And also think of it this way. I mean, I believe always that in efficient markets to benefit the consumer. So if a product, whatever the product may be, I don't care, automobile, computer, the best optimum price solution is an imported solution. The consumer is going to end up getting a second quality product at a higher price that's locally made. And if the tariffs impact imports into the market, you see an increase in demand for the local product, that's going to increase prices as well. So, I mean, those numbers never quite play out the way people expect them to play out. And another thing is one mustn't forget the pricing capacity of certain countries against when they're exporting goods, especially China.
Yeah. No, I take your point. And I love that. You put a tariff on something, the local product isn't cheaper. The local product, it just gives them a little bit of extra space to ramp prices and ultimately margins. We'll leave it there. That's Tiller Katie Coy. Leventine & Co., Managing Partner, always appreciate the insights. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So Bitcoin's come back a bit, as have other cryptos, but broadly they've been flying. Bitcoin got to what? I think $94,500 a coin. Doge was up some 300%. It's been wild out there. Why is it running? Well, because Trump is, in theory, going to be very supportive of crypto. He got a lot of support, money support, from crypto bros, and he promises to be a friend. And the argument is that the current regime doesn't like crypto. The current chair of the SEC, Gary Gensler, is accused of being very unfriendly, aggressive enforcement against crypto exchanges like Coinbase and Binance, which makes sense, right? Because remember, FTX assistance, he insists on applying traditional financial regulation on the sector, and that stifles innovation. Not the worst thing in the world. The theory is Trump will fire Gensler. I don't know that he can, and his term runs through until 5th of June 2026, but certainly it has got crypto all fired up. And of course, Trump has his own dodgy little altcoin at the same time. So really, that's the driver behind it. Is it going to carry on running? Probably. Is it going to be volatile? Guaranteed. Will we make money? Nobody knows. It's wild out there, and crypto is absolutely the pointy end of that wildness. That's it for today. We're chatting with Christopher Dobb yesterday. He's CEO of the iStore. We're talking about buying pre-owned tech. You can trade in your tech. You can then get pre-owned, or as we call it colloquially, second-hand tech. We asked you, have you bought second-hand tech? Half voted no, new all the way. The rest were split between yes, a great deal, and keen to try. I've done it. It's a great deal. Absolutely, it is. You don't get the latest, but you get a good piece of tech at a really great price. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management.
invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday, local bonds.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.